You know where to go? Back to Revelation, chapter 9. You know, since death entered the world, it has marched through time with many victims. Every day it is active. It never seems to tire of its mission. Never has ever slacked in carrying out its daily rounds. Ever since Abel became the first victim of death. You know, death never takes a day off. Never takes a day off. Until we see what's going to happen in chapter 9. Here, death takes a holiday. A 5-month holiday. As we move into chapter 9, we hear the sounding of the 5th trumpet. Now, since the opening of the first of the 7 seals back in chapter 5, terrible events have occurred upon the earth. In the opening of the 7th seal, we had the sounding of the trumpet judgments. The first 4 trumpets increase in intensity. And at the 4th trumpet was sounded, an angel flew through the heavens announcing 3 woes that are coming upon the earth. When the 5th trumpet sounds, the inhabitants of the earth are going to find themselves in the grasp of a hellish horde that's going to come upon this world. Hell is going to be turned loose here on earth. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. So if you will, chapter 9, let's look at verse 1. It says, then the 5th angel sounded. Did I turn this on? Okay. And I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So this star is not a heavenly body. This is a person, because it's given to him this key to the bottomless pit. We believe this is the devil himself that is being spoken of here. It says he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Can you imagine that? Seeking to die, but cannot die. Goes on to say, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. On their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. We'll look at those next Sunday. When death takes a holiday, here are people suffering torment because of these demons that have been turned loose, and they'll seek to die. But death is going to take a 5-month holiday. Let's think about this. First off, if you want to take notes, in verses 1 and 2, we see the pit that is unlocked. This bottomless pit is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. It's also called the abyss. And it describes a prison. This is also called Tartarus in the Bible. And this is a place, you know, hell is for people who die without Christ, but there's a special place for demons. This place, Tartarus, is a place where demons are kept locked up and have been locked up since almost the beginning of time. So we think about the occupants of this pit. Now, you may not believe in demons, but I do. I believe demon activity is very real. I think it is becoming rampant in our world today. There are several references in the Bible to describe how numerous demons have been imprisoned and are in the abyss that is described here. If you want to take notes, write this down. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Peter said, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, to Tartarus, and delivered them unto the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So here are demons that God has imprisoned in this place called Tartarus, or the pit, the abyss. These were angels who had sinned against God. They joined Lucifer. When Lucifer rebelled against God, the Bible says 1/3 of the angels followed him in his rebellion. They were defeated and cast out. Now, some demons are allowed to roam free, but there are some other demons that are locked up in this prison. Tartarus in the Greek, this is the only time in Peter's, the only time that that word is used, but it was used often in Greek literature. In Greek literature, Tartarus was the lowest place in hell, reserved for the worst of sinners. But the Bible said it's a place where demons are locked up, bound in chains of darkness, under guard until the end time when they will stand before God to be judged. Here's another verse you might write down, Jude verse 6. There it says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of that great day." So here are demons locked up. Now, we wonder, why are some locked up while others are allowed to go free? Well, it says that these demons kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So there's something involved here that caused them to be locked up as punishment for what they had done. Now, there's two theories concerning this. Some believe that these are demons who left their first estate. Keep in mind that the Bible seems to indicate there's 3 archangels, or there were at the beginning. There's Michael and Gabriel, and then there's Lucifer. Lucifer being the one that rebelled against God, he would have 1/3 of the angels under him. Michael would have 1/3 of the angels, and Gabriel would have 1/3 of the angels assigned to them, and that would be their leader. Some think that these angels were under Michael or Gabriel. They left the estate God placed them under and followed Lucifer in his rebellion. It's one thing for Lucifer's angels to follow him. It's another for angels from Michael and Gabriel to leave their first estate to follow Lucifer. That was a worse sin to God. So some think these are the angels that are locked up and not allowed to roam the earth as the others are. By the way, the demons that are roaming free are afraid they're going to get cast into the pit. Let me give you another verse. In Luke chapter 8, in verses 30 and 31, Jesus meets a person possessed of demons. And Jesus asked him, talking really to the demon inside this man, he said, "What is thy name?" And the demon said, "Legion." Now, Roman legion was 6,000 soldiers. He said, "We are legion because there are many devils that have entered into this man." And it goes on to say, and they besought Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That's the word abyss. Do not cast us into the abyss where there are other demons that are locked up. They were terrified that that might happen to them. So they begged Jesus, please do not cast us into Tartarus. They said, there was a herd of swine there. He said, let us enter to that herd of swine. And Jesus said, okay, go ahead. That's first mention of deviled ham in the Bible, by the way. Of course, that herd of swine ran down a steep hill and was killed. But these demons like to possess things. Even if it's a pig, that's better than nothing. There's another idea about who these demons in Tartarus might be. Some think it goes back to Genesis chapter 6, when the sons of God were going into the daughters of men. And sometimes angels are referred to as sons of God. And so it's believed by some that these were demons who were cohabiting with women, and they were bearing children. The Bible says they were giants. They were Nephilim. And because these demons had left their first estate and were doing this with the women of the earth, God punished them by casting them into Tartarus. So those are the two main ideas about why there are some locked up. I'll let you decide which one you want to believe. But there are some who are not allowed to roam free. But what we're seeing here is those demons who are locked up will be released during the tribulation period. They've been locked up for probably 6,000 years. Don't you think they're pretty mad by now? I imagine they're pretty upset by now. And they're going to be allowed to go free and do their worst here on earth. They're going to torment man for 5 months. I don't want to be here, do you? That's going to be horrible. So we see the occupants of the pit, and then we see the opening of the pit. A star fell from heaven. We believe that is the devil himself. He was given the key. God is going to allow the devil to open up this pit and allow these demons to go free. God's going to allow the demons to torment man. Since they rejected Jesus Christ, said, we'll not have this man reign over us. They would rather have the Antichrist reign over them, who is a messiah of the devil. So the Lord's just going to give them what they want. You want the kingdom of darkness? Well, I'm going to let you have it for about 5 months. See how you like it. So the pit is open. By the way, I tell you what, go to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Let's just read where the devil came from. Some of you may not be aware of this. In Ezekiel 28, by the way, the devil does not live in hell. He's not the king of hell. He's never been there. And he doesn't want to go there. He's not going to be ruling over hell. He's going to be suffering more than anybody when he gets there. But it says in Ezekiel 28, we have a description of Lucifer. And you look at verse 14 and 15. God says, thou art the anointed cherub, that was an angel, that covereth or guards. I have set thee so. God set him in that position. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, brilliant stones. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So God created Lucifer, but he didn't create the devil. Lucifer became the devil when he sinned against God. It says in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah also speaks of Lucifer and the fall of this person, this being. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, above all the angels of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But God said, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So Lucifer, one of the chief angels, rebelled against God, was defeated, cast out of heaven. He's been allowed to be free. He has his kingdom here on earth. He is the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. But his time's running short. His time is running short. And he knows it. He knows that the end is coming soon. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, the Lord Jesus, who's the eternal Son of God, was there when all this happened. And he saw Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven to the earth. Now, he's given the key to Tartarus. He cannot open this pit unless God allows him. God's giving him the freedom to open this pit and allow these demons to go free. These wicked, horrible demons are going to be released. So let's think about the prisoners that are unloosed. Picture this. Picture every prison in America being opened and all the prisoners allowed to go free. All the serial killers, all the violent criminals, the rapists, the arsonists, the worst of the worst, they're just all allowed to go free to do what they want. Would you want to live here? I wouldn't. But folks, what we're talking about here is much worse than that. Much worse than prisoners being released today. These are demons being released. Probably hundreds of thousands of demons will come out of this pit, pouring out in great rage and fury. We see the description of their purpose here, verses 3 through 6. These diabolical fiends are going to be doing the work of Satan on earth. Did you know that some demons are worse than others? Just like some people are worse than others, right? We're all sinners, but there are some that are worse sinners than others. Well, there are some demons that are worse than others. Let me give you an example of that. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 45, Jesus gave a parable, an illustration. Talks about a man trying to reform himself. He is possessed of demons. The demons leave him for a period of time. And while that's going on, he tries to reform himself. But then it says in verse 45 that the demon who had left him came back and saw that the man was trying to reform himself. And it says he taketh with himself seven other spirits. Now look at this, more wicked. You see that? More wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell in that man. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So it says there are some demons that are more wicked than others. There are some demons that are more powerful than others. There are some demon princes. As we studied through Daniel, we noticed the prince of Persia who tried to keep Gabriel from getting to Daniel to answer his prayer. And for 21 days, a demon prince of Persia was able to keep Gabriel away from Daniel. I don't know how angels fight. I really don't. You can't kill one. They're immortal beings. I don't know if you can injure them. But there's some way that the angels, the good angels and the demons, are in battle. I can't explain what's involved in that. But the Bible plainly says that there is war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So these demons coming out of the pit are going to be the worst of the worst. They're going to be horrible. They're likened to locusts and scorpions. I think locust is symbolizing the number, like a massive swarm of locusts that comes in and just covers an area. They're going to be like scorpions. They're going to have power to inflict horrible suffering on people. Some think that John is taken into the future, into our time, if we're in the last days. And here's a man from the first century, way before there's any technology like we know. He's brought 2,000 years into the future, and he's trying to describe what he sees. I mean, you can just go back 100 years, and they would be shocked to see what we've got today. The technology and transportation and jet planes and all of this, they would be shocked. Imagine 2,000 years ago. John is seeing things, and he's trying to describe these things. These locusts with power in their tails and all of this. Some say, well, could that be gunships? These fighting choppers that we have today? The face of a man, could that be the pilot looking through the glass? The tail of a scorpion could be all the weapons that these things have? I don't know if that's the case or not. Might be. But there's another idea. We've talked recently about these sightings of UFOs are really increasing these days. People think that there are aliens from outer space that are visiting us in these ships. I kind of think they're demons. In the Old Testament, the angels, there were some angels that were called chariots of fire. And to see an angel like the one that took Elijah to heaven in a chariot of fire, that was an angel itself manifested in that way. And what they're seeing today, these ships, these crafts, could they not be chariots of fire? Could they not be demon angels manifesting themselves? They say, well, preacher, why are they doing that? I think Satan is getting ready for the rapture. He's getting ready to try to explain away the disappearance of millions of people. How about an invasion from outer space has done that? So you've got demons trying to deceive people today into thinking that they are just aliens from outer space and not the demon spirits that they really are. And many more are going to be released out of this pit during the tribulation. So there's a description of their purpose. Now, I want you to see a description of their personalities. This is verses 7 through 11. They come forth like horses straining at the bit. Their appearance is likened to a combination of a horse, a man, a locust, a lion, and a scorpion. I don't know what in the world John saw, but this is what he's trying to describe. And as we look at this, let me give you some ideas here. You might want to jot these down. They are infernal, like a swarm of locusts. They are insatiable, devouring everything in their path. I read the worst locust plague in modern times took place in 1951 in Iran, Iraq, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, where every green plant was devoured across those countries. So they are locust-like in their insatiable appetites to devour everything before them. They are intolerable. The sting of a scorpion. Any of you ever been stung by a scorpion? 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that pretty bad? I had a preacher friend that stepped on a scorpion down at Cedar Hills, and it was the last day of camp, and he went home with his foot swollen about 3 times its size. And he told me later how painful that was. I know there's different kinds of scorpions. Some are worse than others. But the torment of these demons is likened unto the pain of a scorpion stinging a man. And for 5 months, people will be suffering from these demons to the point, have you ever felt like, I mean, you were so sick or going through so much pain you just wanted to die? Did you ever pray, Lord, take me home? I have, back when I had COVID. I said, Lord, take me home. I'm sick of St. Francis. I don't want to be here no more. Just take me home. Betty will be all right. Just take me home. You ever been that way? Can you imagine wanting to die and even ready to take your own life and you can't die? Now, I don't understand how this is going to work. People who want to kill themselves, I mean, strap a bunch of bombs to themselves and explode them. How do you survive that? Evidently, in some supernatural way, God is going to prevent people from being able to kill themselves. I mean, you can shoot a bullet through your brain and you're still going to live. You're not going to die. No matter what you do, you will not die. For 5 months, there'll be nobody dying. No funerals. Can you imagine that? That's just a taste, folks, of what hell is like. People in hell want to die, and they can't die. They can't die. They're suffering a second death, which is eternal. Verse 7, they are irresistible. Nothing's going to be able to stop them as they go about tormenting mankind. They are invincible, conquering everything in their path. Man's got no weapon against these immortal creatures. How do you fight spirit beings? There's no way. They are crowned, meaning that they are going to rule over the earth for this time. They are intelligent. The human face speaks of intelligence. A man's face is the index of his soul. No animal has a face so expressive of the hidden life within as people have. Did you know that? And this speaks of Satan and these demons so cunning in deceiving others. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. They are insidious. Verse 8. Talks about having hair like a woman. If you look in the Bible, I don't have time to look at, you might want to jot this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 speaks of the hair of the woman being her glory. The Bible says that is the glory of the woman. And I think this speaks of the seductive power of these demons. The Bible speaks of seducing spirits around us. They are inexorable or relentless with teeth like a lion. Even when a lion's bite does not kill, they say that the mouth of a lion is so filled with infection that the wound never heals. And they are insensitive, verse 9. They are insensitive to those who are suffering. The cries, the agonies of their victims do not move them at all. They are merciless in inflicting pain upon others. They're inescapable. There's no place to hide from them. They're like the wind, and they're everywhere. There's no refuge from these demons. You can't kill them. You can't hide from them. They are injurious, verse 10. They've got one aim, to afflict and torment mankind. You know, it's amazing to me that there are so many people who choose the kingdom of darkness over the kingdom of light. Can you explain why people do that? Why they love the darkness of this world more than the light that comes through Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible explains it really. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They love darkness. They prefer, they're much more at home in a honky-tonk than they are in the church house. This is not their people. They're uncomfortable here. They're much more comfortable with that crowd who rejects Jesus Christ. Amen. And finally, they're indivisible in verse 11. They have a king. The Bible says, Proverbs 30:27, the locusts have no king. Well, these do. They've got a king over the pit, the king of Tartarus. Some think it's Satan. Others think it might be a demon presence. It says his name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. Both names mean destroyer. So it's probably Satan, maybe one of his demon princes. But they have a king over Tartarus. Here's a final thought. Think about the punishment that is unleashed. It says in verse 10, their power was to hurt men. The target of their punishment are these people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It's limited to only those who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That's talking about the 144,000 that were sealed by God. These demons will not be allowed to touch them. They've been sealed by God. They are safe and they are secure. They could not kill them. They can cause great pain, but like I said, for 5 months nobody dies. Not even the demons are able to kill them. All they can do is torment them. But death flees from them all. Then the time of their punishment. Verse 5 says their power was to hurt men 5 months. By the way, that's the ordinary time during which locusts commit their ravages. For about five, from May to September is when locusts are at their worst. Folks, this is what's coming. So, Brother West, what are we supposed to do with this? Well, how about warn your lost friends and loved ones that this is coming? Warn them to flee to Jesus Christ and be saved before it's too late. Death is going to take a 5-month holiday during this time. You know, some say the church is going through the tribulation. I don't believe that. I'll tell you why. God will chasten his own, but God will never pour his wrath out upon his children. Not only are we his children, we're his bride. Now think about this. What husband would pour out his wrath upon his bride before their marriage supper? Does that make sense? Folks, we're the bride of Christ. One day a trumpet's going to sound. It's going to call us to meet our Lord in the air. We're going to return with him to the Father's house to a great marriage feast. Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us believers, to wrath. We're not appointed unto wrath, but unto to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.